This is Dr. Allie Evans welcoming you all to Light on Health and Happy Tuesday. In this show, we're looking at shining the light on a full spectrum of health topics that affect all of us in our community and beyond. My guest today is Venus Frommwiller, and she's the resource coordinator, the resource,
Resource Center Coordinator.
Resource Center Coordinator at the CMH OHSU Cancer Collaborative Knight Center, which is that lovely new building that many of you have seen in its construction phase, and now many of you have driven by without really knowing what's inside. But we're going to talk about what's offered there and kind of what Astoria has to offer in cancer care now. So welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit just about your background and kind of how you landed in Astoria and at the Cancer Center. And
yeah, so we have, my family and I have been in Astoria for 12 years now. We came, my husband and I are both teachers, so my background is in teaching health education. And came to Astoria. We were teaching at the school district. I started doing...
Did you land here for a job?
Yes.
Okay.
We both grew up in Oregon, had left when we graduated, went to find the sunshine in sunny Southern California.
What are you talking about? Look outside today.
It is gorgeous today. And decided we wanted to be back in Oregon, closer to family, to raise our family. So,
mm-hmm. And then when you came here, you were doing health education, right, in the schools?
Yep. So I started out teaching health at Astoria High School and, you know, teaching some track and doing things. So kind of health education, physical education, nutrition have always kind of been my passion. And I was just teaching part-time. I reached out to the hospital. They happened to need someone to start teaching some classes for individuals with chronic conditions, mm-hmm. and I just started doing that work intermittently, and then that work grew, and I needed to make a choice of which way to go, and ended up at the hospital from intermittent and kind of just gradually increased hours and worked in community outreach for a long time, and then a year ago, almost to today.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah.
Almost.
Was hired for the position for the Resource Center Coordinator in preparation of opening the Cancer Center that opened in October. So,
and we'll go into sort of what resources. Oh, there is a raccoon walking by our window as we're speaking. That's very odd. we'll go into what resources are available, but tell us a little bit about what that job actually is, and then we'll kind of dive into what's all being offered there at the Cancer Center.
So my job entails kind of a couple different pieces. One of them is to sort of manage and help staff through volunteers, the actual resource center, which is, you know, a physical space that we have a lending library and, you know, educational brochures and pamphlets and handouts, and then some retail items and things like that. So it's working with an amazing group of volunteers who come in and staff that from 9 to 3, Monday through Friday. And then the other hat I wear is coordinating a lot of our, you know, supports and classes, events, that sort of thing, for patients and, you know, family members or patients and their support person, mm-hmm. whoever that may be.
Yeah. I have to say, when I first went into, I think this was in medical school. No, this was pre-med. When I first went into a cancer center, this was at University of Michigan, they had a cookbook. They had, like, it was chemo services, you know, in the infusion services. And I was sitting with some people, and there's a pile of cookbooks next to where the patients were getting infusion. And I just picked one up and was kind of like randomly looking through it. The page I opened to was like, and I think the cookbook was called How to Eat with Cancer. And so I was like, that is so awesome that they're, and this was in the early 90s, so, or the mid 90s. So I was like, how progressive that they're talking about food and cancer, you know, that link. And then the page I opened to was like euphoric chocolate cake. And it was literally like, take one box of Duncan Hines chocolate mix, like mix, you know, some pudding into it. And I was like, gosh.
I think the cookbooks have gotten better, because yeah. We certainly, when you name the title, I'm like, ooh, that same book may still be out there in its newest version. But
it's probably now gluten gluten-free or something. Yes. It's like a gluten-free box of chocolate cake mix.
But it is amazing how many things are specific to and how many resources are available for people today. Because I think probably, you know, that same time I was, you're talking about being in a cancer center in Michigan.
Yeah.
And I was doing my, you know, undergrad work and learning about all the cool new things that at that time it was like the Celilo Cancer Center. But it's like, oh, that was like nearly 20 years ago. And it's like we're seeing these things being much more common, and it's very exciting to be a part of it.
So. It is. And I think, you know, one of the things, like when you first came on as managing the Resource Center and kind of as this being in charge of this entity of the Resource Center, just realizing that even in a small town, we can offer, you know, way more comprehensive cancer care. Because I think sometimes people get locked into this idea of surgery, chemo, and radiation. That's cancer treatment.
Right.
And but, yeah.
There's a whole sort of spectrum that revolves around that. So a lot of my early work, especially in education, even when I was educating middle schoolers and high schools, is in prevention, right? You know, eating right, exercising, these things have not changed in 30 years. The recommendations are still the same, and they're the same for cancer patients. But looking at that support from that preventative aspect to the education, if you are diagnosed, then you obviously choose some sort of treatment. And then now a lot of the work in cancer care is looking at that post-treatment. You know, you've completed your curative treatment and you're moving into what is called survivorship. And so, you know, through the Resource Center, that is really how we're looking to support, and not just the patient, right? Because we know this is a journey that people take as a community, as a family. You know, this affects everyone around the cancer patients. So really looking to support them through all of those phases. So whether you're just looking to sort of stay healthy and what should I be doing, to what should I be doing during treatment, and then that, especially, you know, that year out post-treatment, there's a realization that this is that's a really crucial time as well in a person's, you know, care and healing, and really trying, you know, I see my role as trying to support them from multiple touch points, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be different for everybody. What one person sees as support, someone else, that's not going to work for them. It's not going to be their cup of tea. So, you know, what can we offer? And we are in a small community. So it's, you know, trying to manage how can we offer a number of things that hopefully meet most people's needs, but also realizing, yeah, we have big goals and big dreams, and I think we're doing amazing things in our small community, and we have a lot to offer people, but we are a small community, and so we have those challenges of, you know, class sizes and getting enough people, you know, to events and things like that.
Yeah. And so for all of you who are listening who have driven by the beautiful new center and have no idea what's behind the doors, kind of walk us in a little bit. Give us like a virtual tour of just what's inside there, and what are we offering, and what are people coming in for each day? And
yeah, so, you know, the center is beautiful. And I know even with sort of the build up to the opening, there was a lot of, you know, focus on that, and people said that. But I think the most impactful thing for me is to hear when patients come in and saying, I was instantly at ease. You know, like, wow, it's such a beautiful building. Or people say, oh, if I have to be here, it's nice that this space is welcoming. And that was the intent all along, right? That we have this welcoming opening space.
It's also really calming. I don't know. Something about the entryway, the art, it's a calming space.
And that's what we hear a lot of. So you walk in, and we have sort of our common area, which, you know, your waiting area, and then our registration desk, that sort of thing. But it's very open. It's very light. There is lots of artwork around. We have a small, what we call our activity room, where a number of our, you know, classes are held. We have, I guess we'll get into those later, but
the classes are fascinating. You can tell us. I think there's an incredible offering of classes.
Yeah. So in that classroom space, like, we have adaptive yoga, and we have Qigong and gentle movement. There's a group that meets in the evenings called Authentic Spiritual Conversations. So there's, you know, there's a number of things happening in there.
And all of these classes currently are offered at no charge for the patients and the people supporting them.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. So we've, yes, the
goal. It's part of their treatment. It's part of the package.
It is. It's really, we're looking to create community. That's what we heard back. We did a kind of a pilot study a couple years ago, reached out to some patients and, you know, asked them what, you know, what was maybe missing in your experience. And they just really, what we heard the loudest was, we want this sense of community. And so that's what we're trying to create through these classes. So, and through our center. So again, you know, you walk in, it's very welcoming, it's very open, there's lots of art, we have a space for activities. We pass the kind of entryway, then we have our resource center that kind of sits back in the back. And then downstairs is radiation oncology, which is new to Astoria. That
because it used to be that patients who needed radiation would go to Longview daily.
Yes, or to Portland, yeah, or to beyond. Portland, yeah. Yes. So that's been, you know, to hear people say like, oh my, well, and we know, and we've heard from patients that surprisingly so, a number of people in the past have chosen not to get treatment just because, you know, they said, I'm not willing to do that travel, you know, day in and day out.
Absolutely.
Every single day.
Absolutely.
So, so yes, radiation downstairs, which, you know, there's some imaging as well. We have a, you know, CT scan. On Fridays, we have a mobile PET CT that, you know, wheels up and is there. And so that's kind of the bottom floor, with the resource center and the radiation therapy. And then the upper level is the chemotherapy and infusion center, which, you know, overlooks,
with a river view.
Yes, which overlooks the Columbia River. So, you know, that's pretty amazing. And the one of the, I think, most, I don't know, eye-opening or funny things that, you know, people said, oh, I didn't know we had this here. And, you know, chemo and infusion has been in Astoria for, you know, years. So it was very interesting, like, how many people, because it wasn't within that new building.
Yeah.
That you were seeing,
well,
you
and
know,
before this building was created, a lot of it was very compartmentalized. Like, you had to go here for this and you had to go across the street for that. And now it's really this central space where it's kind of one-stop shopping, you know.
And that's been pretty amazing. And that's, again, kind of through my role with the Resource Center, it's like, oh, and we're trying to have, you know, all of these things right here, kind of wrapping our arms around you, and you don't have to go too many places, and you can get a few of maybe like your, you have some side effects of treatment and you need, you know, a certain medication or you need a certain mouthwash or something. And it's like, oh, it's right there
right
in the
there.
Resource Center for you.
Yeah.
You don't have to go anywhere else because we know this is, you know, it's a challenging time and it's a...
And you guys have done such a good job in really thinking out way beyond surgery, chemo, radiation, this little triangle of treatment, and really being so much more global about what a person goes through. And even just that process of from diagnosis, navigating the system, like, where do I go next? And what do I do? And am I supposed to make this appointment? And I mean, it's such a confusing world that people really don't want to enter. And when they do have to enter, you know, they're sort of lost in the woods.
Well, and it's very overwhelming, right? You know, you're sort of, you've gotten this diagnosis that no one ever wants to get. And then there's a, you know, a lot of appointments and a lot of different people to see. And so having everything, you know, for the most part, right in one location is pretty amazing. And again, really, I think it's just, there's been a big focus on, you know, patient-centered care. What can we do to support the patient the most? And I started thinking of, you know, roles outside of my role that are, you know, they aren't that, like you were saying, they aren't just those that are involved in treatment, but we have patient financial services on site.
Which will help figure out costs and your insurance and payment and all of that.
Or if you need assistance. We have, you know, triage nurses upstairs who are just really sitting at a desk by the phone every day for if patients call in. We have a nurse navigator.
And what does the nurse navigator do?
Some of that kinda I don't
help,
know all the specifics, but
kinda
she does help navigate through the system.
I know
when, you know, patients are, you know, diagnosed from, and then they come in and they have an appointment with like one of the oncologists.
Right.
to kind of say, okay, here's what your diagnosis is, and here's what I think, you know, the plan might be, or here's your options. There is an appointment with the nurse navigator as well to kind of, you know, she can help them walk through what all that looks like and gather other information, that sort of thing, as well as a social worker. And so that is, you know, we're very fortunate to have a full-time, you know, oncology social worker on site. And I know that, you know, Mari is incredibly busy and, you know, I think well utilized by patients and family members. And again, it's just, you know, she's there to support them through their journey. So, you know, Mari does a lot of resource connecting. I mean, it's like, oh, I'm the resource center coordinator, but you know, a social worker does a lot of those connecting directly to resources, and she's more kind of one-on-one with patients and families, whereas I'm kind of, you know, global or in the background and kind of here for you sort of thing. And we have a part-time dietitian, you know, dedicated to oncology. So kind of going back to that cookbook and these things.
How do you make your perfect chocolate cake?
And then a number of volunteers. You know, we have volunteers who are working in the resource center, but then a lot of the classes that we had mentioned are people who have come and said, I have this skill, or I have, you know, this is what I do. Do you have use for it? So that's been totally amazing. So we have a number of volunteers in the center. And just really kind of looking at that, creating that sense of community. We have patients helping patients, which I'm just overwhelmed by.
And something I remember you said to me, this was probably years ago when we were talking about you, we were talking about when you create, or when you need social support, so putting yourself in the shoes of someone who's who's in a space of needing some help, you know, whether it's emotional or physical or whatever, when you need support, there's something sometimes about a support group and that label that makes people feel it's too much and it's too overwhelming, and sometimes it's just a little too daunting. But I think some of these other offerings, classes in which you connect, even though you're not going and having to say, hi, I'm so-and-so and I have cancer and this is what's hard for me. But you're just living your life in a way that you're putting yourselves with others that are walking a similar path.
And that's kind of what we saw. I mean, you know, we are social worker and her, you know, department certainly do have support groups that are available for people. But that was kind of one thing that we saw, is that sometimes there is an apprehension to go to something like that, or, you know, or hearing from people, I don't want to go sit down and talk about it, right? But they're still wanting that connection, exactly like you said, to people who are kind of going through the same thing. So, you know, yoga, the adaptive yoga is happening, and that was the vision when that class was created, which a number of these things, too, I feel guilty sometimes talking about, because a number of them were happening, but they were in maybe different places.
Or now everything's just centralized.
All together. So, you know, that group becomes a support group for those people, right? Oh, we meet for yoga and then we chit chat afterwards, or maybe we come to the center a few minutes before and drink some tea and build that sense of community and belonging, and then go to our yoga class. So,
And something I see over and over in my patients is just this feeling, and I think we all do as humans, whenever we have something that not everyone has, we just feel very alone, even when we don't realize it, you know? And most of the time it's like, you still have to go to work, raise your kids, get groceries, do laundry. Like, we still have this very human experience, but a lot of people, especially as they're going through cancer treatment, you have this huge other world going on internally. And to know that you're not alone for people is, you know, is just so helpful.
I think it's just that, really looking at the whole person, right? Looking how, the treatment is supporting maybe more those physical, you know, needs of the body, but saying, okay, how can we, through support groups or yoga or Qigong or, you know, authentic spiritual conversations, how can we help support your emotional side or your mental side?
And there's also wigs. You guys have wigs available. Tell us about that, because I think that's awesome as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I didn't mention that in the yeah. resource center, and we're sort of overloaded with wigs right yeah. now. But yeah.
So, all of you listening who are part of the cancer center right now, come
wigs.
Get your free wig. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So we were able to, and again, there was a small was called Beyond the Salon for years mm-hmm. that. Our, at the time, volunteer coordinator and, you know, her group of volunteers had created when we just had this small, you know, chemo infusion center over in the park yeah. building. But we're able to sort of make that visible now. Mm-hmm. We've said, you know, we can give a few wigs probably now because we have such a... I had someone come down and say I was wigged out yesterday. but it's really nice because, again, that's one of those things... that, you know, you're going through this cancer journey or this cancer, you know, process or whatever you want to call it. And I think sometimes thinking about your looks or your physical appearance mm-hmm. on one hand can seem very maybe trivial, mm-hmm. you know, like, oh, I got bigger, you know, bigger things to worry about.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think the bigger part of that is, you need to wake up in the morning and you need to be able to look in the mirror and be comfortable with yeah. what's looking back at you. And I think our identity and our appearance is important to us,
yeah,
right?
It's one part of self-love.
It's not a level of, you know, vanity or, mm-hmm. you know, kind of superficial. It's like, I need to be okay with this mm-hmm. or I need to be okay with this because I need to go to work and I don't want people asking me, you know, whatever it might be. So that has actually been pretty amazing to watch the... you know, to have women come in and find a wig that they really like mm-hmm. and just see their whole appearance change, you know, so excited. Or they've come in after their first day back at work after treatment. And they said, I put my wig on. I look so good. You know, so yeah. Those things are, you know, really nice for me on a personal level because it makes me feel like I, you know, I have
Absolutely.
Someone.
And no one has to go to Portland for it. It's right there, you know.
It's right there. Yeah. And, you know, we're doing it all kind of volunteer and we're learning a lot as we go mm-hmm. as well. So I certainly, we have brochures from, you know, places in Portland to say, you know, if you want kind of the real professional full meal deal, like here's some options in yeah. Portland. But if, you know, you're here and we can help you with something.
Yeah.
And, you know, even with that, it's like we have a couple, like the... hairdressers and salons in the community have, I think, always been, you know, very supportive. Most of the hairdressers I've talked to, you know, or if they're already seeing someone, are very willing to, oh, have someone come in mm-hmm. before, after hours if someone's, you know, self-conscious about, you know, maybe getting the hair trimmed or trying mm-hmm. on wigs or doing something like that. We have a couple gals out in Warrenton who do hair that say if someone can't afford it or they, you know, don't have a regular stylist, we will do it for free. Mm-hmm. You know, they give us a call. So it's just the outreach from the community has yeah. been really, really amazing.
And I think that point you were saying about, you know, it feels trivial, but really, like, have you seen there was those experiments that Dr. Emoto did? He was a scientist who was looking at water crystals.
Oh, yes.
And he did these experiments where he watered plants, one with water with the word love on it
yep.
and the other with water with the word hate on it. And you literally could look at the plant and one was shriveling up and one was just this thriving, like big, beautiful spread yep. out leaves capturing the sun. And I think about that, you know, not yes, of course, we don't want to put all of our focus onto just our physical capsule and how our physical form looks. But the
yes.
more we do for ourselves that instill self-love, that's what our, like, that's what we're putting in water that's 75% of our body. And
right.
that's what we're circulating through our blood. So
you
it
know,
is this idea of, like, do everything.
Everything that you can. Well, and I
whether
think
we're talking
too,
about cancer or not, for every human listening, for every human yeah. out there, just what we can do to for more self-love.
And what you have control over.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that is one
that's
thing
right.
that you
that's
hear a lot
point.
With, like, cancer care. Like, you know, sometimes you don't have control over a lot of the things that are happening. And so what can you control? I mean, obviously, like, your attitude, right? We're
sure.
talking about these
right.
things. But, yeah, okay, I can control. Like, I can wear certain clothes or I can do a hair or mm-hmm. I can get a head covering or, you know, whatever it
yeah.
might be. But any little thing when maybe a lot of mm-hmm. other things are sort of out of your control.
That's
so
right.
That's
why I clean my kitchen when right. my to-do list is overwhelming.
Yes.
I'm like, I can control that.
Yep. Yep.
And I just want to mention some of the classes. I just want to read the list of classes because I just saw the full list this morning and I just, there's incredible classes being offered. So as Venus was saying, there's adaptive yoga. There's art therapy classes, and this is weekly, right? The art therapy classes.
Thursdays from 2:30 to 4:30.
Thursdays, 2:30 to 4:30. Authentic spiritual conversations. There is a breast cancer support group, a cancer support group, a community mindfulness group. What is that? That sounds...
Community mindfulness group is led by one of... just sort of the main hospital. We have a spirituality team and task force, and they have a number of volunteers... within that group. And so Anne, who is one of our volunteer chaplains, she leads a mindfulness group. And it's really about stress reduction and being mindful.
Being
right?
present.
So being present, being able to take that time to just sit and breathe, maybe reflect on where you are, or how you're feeling that day. And that one is open to like our staff as well. So it happens early in the 7 to 7:45 a.m., which is not the favorite time for a lot of people.
That's okay. If people can be mindful or present during that time, they've come very far.
Right. So so that's – it seems like there's a lot of, you know, more awareness about mindfulness.
Yes.
And I feel that can be done in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
But this is one way to start maybe exploring that and finding out a little bit more about it. So –
And then you're also partnering with the North Coast Food Web to do cooking with community class.
Yes. Yeah. And so, again, that was kind of that how do we create these relationships? How do we create a space for people to come together who are, have a shared experience over something that's maybe more fun than saying let's come sit in a circle and chat about these things.
That's right.
So
everyone has to eat,
right? So let's eat good food and preparing it together. I mean, I think that's just such a cultural thing. I feel like it's coming back, which I personally think is really exciting that, people are getting back in the kitchen. People are getting more connected to where their food is coming from and putting good, nutritious things into our bodies, which again makes sense from prevention
through treatment, through post-treatment, through survivorship.
Yep.
Yeah.
Across the spectrum.
And then there's also look good, feel better, and Qigong and gentle movement. So really awesome classes, events, ongoing support.
Yeah.
And the Resource Center phone number for do they just call the Cancer Center, or is there a phone number for the Resource Center if people want to get in touch?
We do have a phone number for the Resource Center, and it's on my paper.
I was going to say, do you know it?
I have my personal line memorized. It is 503-338-4638. And that that rings to the Resource Center itself, but I will put out, my direct line is 338-4520.
Okay.
And I, either or, they will both, get to a volunteer or to me. So,
yes. And that we've been talking with Venus Frommwiller about what's being offered at the CMH OHSU Knight Cancer Collaborative and at the Resource Center there. So if you missed any of it and you want to hear if you've missed any of the info, it'll be available online on podcast. Probably by this afternoon. Any last parting thoughts? Anything you want to share? Any last moment?
Well, I just, I really hope that people find us to be a good, source of support. That's what we want to be for people. We want everyone to know that we're here as a resource. We're here to support you how we can. Mm-hmm. We have a number of different things going on.
And don't be afraid to walk in and check out the building.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think we've had lots of people come in and do that. And that is, that is just fine to come in and say hello. And that's, we are a part of a community, and we feel like we had a lot of community involvement in, developing the center. And, I feel like there's a lot of ownership from the community. And so,
Well, thanks for holding the vision of more comprehensive cancer wellness. And thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you also to Joanne Rideout, our engineer. It is my hope that we have enlightened and empowered you to take one tiny step forward towards your own radiant health. Go out and enjoy the sun today.